Good morning, everybody. So I hope we all remember yesterday's lesson in which we talked about the three separate parts of government. So, okay, and we have to remember, though, that that's used not only in the national government, but also in all the other forms of government leading up to it, like state levels and regional levels. So let's just go over them quickly just to refresh everyone's memory. So first of all, we have the legislative branches, which is like the state congresses and the national congresses. They're the ones that make the laws. Next, we have the executive branch, which is like the governors of each state or the president. They're the ones that enforce the laws, either through the use of the military or police forces. And lastly, we have the judicial branch, which is like the different judges, both in the state levels and in the national levels. And they're the ones who interpret the laws when people have conflicts of interest or they really, you know, have something to argue about. So today we're going to talk specifically about the separation of powers, which is probably better known by everyone as a system of checks and balances, which means that every different branch of the government is able to exert their power onto the other branches of government to make sure that no one gets too powerful and the entire government is able to work together without one becoming stronger than the other ones. So first and foremost, we'll start with the judicial branch. It's kind of like a watchdog. So if the Congress is over here making the laws, the judicial branch is over there comparing them to the U.S. Constitution. We talked about that last month. The U.S. Constitution and the judicial and the judicial branch's interpretation of it means that if the legislative branch makes up some laws that don't fit with the Constitution, the judicial branch can just wipe them out, make them like they never existed. So the executive branch, the president or the governor, is doing the same thing. They're also keeping an eye on Congress. They're watching to make sure that Congress is, you know, making laws that they like, and they can actually go a step further. Before that bill even becomes a law, then the president can veto it or cancel it before Congress can even finish it. The president is able to exert some power over the judges by making sure like who gets into the judicial system or not. Let's see here. Anybody here remember the name Harriet Myers? Can I see a show of hands? Who is Harriet Myers?
She was nominated to the Supreme Court.
Did she make it? That's right, because Congress debated and decided that Harriet Myers was President Bush's choice to be on the Supreme Court, decided that she didn't have the background or the credentials to be a good judge for the most powerful court in the country. That actually brings us to the third branch, the legislative branch, and their power. They get to advise and okay any of the judges that the governor or the president chooses. They're also the big money bags of the entire system. So yeah, you guys all like this. They get to set the salaries for all the judges and all the governors and all the presidents. So they even get to choose their own salaries. Now, doesn't that sound like a great job or what? So they even have more power when it comes to vetoing. So remember when I said that the president gets to veto things that the legislature makes? Well, so if two-thirds of the legislature, if they get together and they decide that they really don't like the president's veto, they can actually overrule that and that bill will become a law anyway. But you're all probably most familiar with one of the most famous aspects of Congress, which is that of impeachment. So who can tell me just really quickly what impeachment is? Anyone?
If somebody isn't doing their job, then the other branch can kick them out.
Yeah, that's just the beginning, though. There's actually two parts. The first part, though, is, okay, so first we'll just start with the House of Representatives and the Senate. We all remember studying that last week. So the House of Representatives is the one that actually does the impeachment. They get the ball rolling by deciding if the president, we'll just use the president in this case here because it's probably the most well-known one. So they take a look at what the president has done, decide if he's violated the trust of the American people or he's broken any laws, and then if a majority of them think so, that's it. He's impeached. So, but then it goes on to the Senate, and the Senate then has a trial system, kind of like the courts, and if two-thirds of the Senate decide that the House of Representatives was correct in their thinking, they really want to punish the president even more, then he's removed from office. So it takes two things, the House of Representatives to impeach, and then the Senate to remove them from office. So what are some problems with the systems of checks and balances? Well, for one thing, it really slows everything down. When you have all these political parties making all these choices, it can really get in the way of the government's ability to actually govern. Also, studies have shown that because of the complexity of our system of government, the average person doesn't want to get involved. They just think it's too complicated. Another interesting one that's come up in the past decade is the problem of judicial independence. That is to say, the executive branch and the legislative branch can have their ideas reversed, but the judicial branch, they're completely done. Yep, a little longer.